God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word for our nourishment. God's word for our strength. God's word for our life comes from the prophet Isaiah at the 40th chapter, beginning at the 26th verse. And here Isaiah writes, "Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." So far, God's word for our consideration this morning to guide us, to nourish us, to strengthen us as his children who are walking in the world. And I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about taking a trip. Maybe not the last 4 months, but I want you to think about that trip and what you do with that trip. I want you to think about your journey. I want you to think about all the planning that you do for that trip. A year and a half ago, we went to Hawaii, and Karen sat down at the computer and would get all these excursions for us. So she would plan our itinerary. And then we went to Aruba this last January. She did the same thing. She planned everything out for us, what we were going to do. Those things, then it came to packing the suitcase, what to bring, what kind of clothes to bring, what kind of clothes to pack. That's the endless kind of worry, isn't it? But today, I want you to think about a different kind of journey. A journey that you're not going to be able to pack any clothes. You don't have to bring your toothbrush along either. But it's going to be a marvelous journey, because it's going to see so many different sights. Your breath is going to be taken away as you look at the mountaintops. And also, you're going to gasp as you see the valleys, the rocky valleys. You're going to shop or window shop. You're going to enjoy cruises that are on smooth sailing seas. And then you're going to endure the deep wells of the waves of another cruise, so rough that you might get seasick. You're going to experience all these sorts of things. But I want you to be aware of something. As you think about that, you are not traveling alone, because you are traveling as a child of God, redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ, claimed by God to be his own. And a few chapters later, Isaiah says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." The Apostle Paul echoes that in Romans when he says, "If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord." You belong to the Lord. And he has clothed you with so many blessings. He has clothed you with faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I want you to think about this journey, and that this journey you are taking, you are taking in the arms of the Creator God, who has given us so many blessings. Yes, he has given mankind the blessing of our minds, that we can develop things over the ages. can remember in my second parish, cell phones weren't even invented. I don't remember when there was a blizzard, so to speak, in North Dakota. This is long ago. And I was preaching in a town 60 miles away from Langdon, North Dakota, where we lived. And the only way I made it home from Rolla to Langdon was because it was blowing so hard, blowing the snow so hard over the road, I saw the yellow light. No cell phones, couldn't call Karen, tell her what I was doing. But when I got home, I sort of got read the riot act, that I should have stayed where I was. But through that journey, I wasn't journeying alone. God had his hand on top of me. And I want you to think about that as you struggle with your life, as you struggle with the downs and the valleys, as you struggle with the masks that you have to wear, as you struggle with this coronavirus, as you struggle being close to other people. No handshakes, no hugs, only hi, how are you doing from 6 feet. That's the new normal for a while. But it isn't us, is it? And still, God travels with us. We're packed so close together with our spouses and our children, emotions can get frayed. Words can be said that wouldn't normally be said. And you feel just terrible and ashamed. You're not traveling alone. God is with you. And it's amazing that when we look at all God's creation, we wonder how he can create everything around us, how he can give life to us and life to those around us, and how he continues to tell us no one is missing, that all are in his care and his keeping, because he strengthens us. He strengthens us by his grace, by his love, by his redeeming love in Jesus Christ. And he tells us that we are his own and that Jesus died for us and rose again to eternal life. That through that we have life everlasting. And so God tells us all about his life, his presence in our lives, and how he nourishes us. That he nourishes us with his word. He nourishes us with the sacrament of Christ's body given and his blood shed for us to give us eternal life and forgiveness of sins. He lifts us up in the knowledge that Jesus loves us. God loves us so much that he gave his one and only son into death for us. That's an amazing, amazing proclamation of who this God is. He has created the stars and the moon and the sun. He has created each of us with the hands that work, the eyes that see, the ears that hear, the lungs that breathe, the heart that pumps, everything God created. And God creates something else in our hearts and lives, and that's faith. The Apostle Paul writes in the second chapter of his second letter, or the fifth chapter of the second letter to the Corinthians, he says, we walk by faith, not by sight. So we have faith that God will keep us. We have faith that God will dwell in our lives and that God would lead us to the green pastures that he says are abundant in Psalm 23. And by faith we know that our Lord is our shepherd and that he will guide us and direct us in our very lives. So as we journey in this life, As we journey, as God's children redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ, we journey by faith. We journey tied to our gracious God. We don't know how long this pandemic is going to last. We don't know how long the restrictions are going to last. We don't know how long this virus is going to be with us, or if there's going to be a second wave or a third wave. One thing we do know, that we need not live in fear, anxiety, because our God is with us. Our God gives us hope. Our God gives us life. Our God gives us peace in Jesus Christ. He has all of that hope that he lumps together to give each and every one of us. So it's going to take a while to get over with it. But it never takes a while to get over God, because God lives with us. And God tells us that he will continue to grant us strength. Because Jesus says these words: "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will be led and guided by my yoke." That, Lord, brings those words to us, as he also brings the words of hope and life in Jesus Christ. In Christ's holy name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.